Christmas song that tells us all about how Santa Claus is making a list and checking it twice because he's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Some people take this list a little less seriously than others. In fact, some people are kind of proud that they're not on Santa's nice list. I have seen some t-shirts that say things like, "I am the reason that Santa has a naughty list." Or, "Be naughty, save Santa the trip." You know, people seem to be proud of those things. But I remember when I was a young kid, being rather concerned about the nice list. And if I remember correctly, my parents kind of got over that whole Santa being omniscient thing by telling us that Jesus would tell Santa whether we've been naughty or nice, and that's how Santa knew that, you know, what to bring us and everything. But this nice list was really concerning me, but our parents would always reassure us, "Yes, yes, you have been good this year, you're a good little kid," so on and so forth. However, my sister may have had a different opinion. There is another kind of list that kind of mimics that in a lot of ways. It's the year-end inventory list. If you are in business, this is an essential list. You need to know what you have and what you don't have because you can't really do business with inventory that you don't have. And Santa's naughty or nice list is a little bit like the year-end inventory list because you can be asking those questions, how am I doing so far this year? What kind of a person am I becoming? What about mistakes? Is it too late to change? There are times in life when it is good and we need to stop and take stock before it is too late and things get even more difficult in life. In Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge is a man that is forced to slow down and take stock of his life. When Scrooge returns home on Christmas Eve, he gets an unexpected visit. The ghost of his partner, Jacob Marley, who died 7 years before this, appears to Scrooge, and we're going to watch that scene now.
What business do you want with me?
Much.
Who are you, sir?
Ask me who I was.
Well, who were you then?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Can you sit down?
I can.
We'll do it then.
You don't believe in me.
I don't.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because little things upset them. An upset stomach, put him quite out of order. You could be a crumb of moldy cheese, an underdone turnip.
Moldy cheese? An underdone turnip?
Oh, some British beef. That could be mighty upsetting to the stomach. There's more gravy than grave about you, Jacob. What is it? Speak up, man. Why do spirits walk the earth? And why do they come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide, And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world. Oh, woe is me, and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth, and turned to happiness.
Your phantom, tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. It is a ponderous chain.
Do you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear? It was as heavy and as long as this, 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since.
Jacob, Marley, speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I have none to give. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger anywhere. Oh, never to be able to make amends for missed opportunities. Oh, for the torture of remorse.
Jacob, I don't understand why you're suffering. All your life, you were a good businessman.
That's why I'm suffering. The suffering I caused others is being repaid.
Jacob, it was business!
Business? Mankind was my business. The common good was my business. At this time of the rolling year, I suffer most. Why I can appear to you tonight in the shapes that you can see, I do not know. But I have sat invisible beside you many and many a day, trying to reach you. Listen to me, Ebenezer. My time on earth is nearly gone. I am here to warn you that you have a chance of escaping my terrible fate. A chance I got for you.
You are always a good friend to me, Jacob.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
Is this the chance you spoke of?
It is.
In that case, I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you've no hope of escaping your fate. Expect the first tomorrow where the bell tolls 1.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over and done with?
Expect the second spirit on the next night at the same time, and the third the night following at 12. Look to see me no more. And for your own sake, remember what has passed between us.
At the outset of the series, as we begin this, let me offer 1 little quick caveat. The way the story is written, it seems to advocate a belief that human spirits are condemned to wander the earth to make up for the wrongs that they did here on earth. I'm not sure of Dickens' theology and his actual view of the afterlife. He was a very intelligent man, educated in the church, but in fact, the entire story was actually more of a reaction against the church, because Dickens was a crusader. He wanted to help the poor. So the story that displays this miserly nature of Scrooge changing into a generous man who knew how to keep Christmas is actually right up Dickens' alley. But to be crystal clear, there'll be parallels between the Dickens story and biblical things that we talk about and so on and so forth, but there is nothing in all of Scripture that supports the whole idea that human spirits wander the earth or are condemned to wander the earth after they die. Please make sure we understand that. That is not an exact parallel. Please don't send me emails telling me, don't you understand that? No, I understand, okay? That is not an exact parallel. What Dickens does give us, though, is an image of what has been called the law of the harvest. This verse is going to be on the screen. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And this gives us our first principle that we're going to look at today from Dickens' story. We must face the consequences of our words and our actions. Scrooge is having to face the truth that the actions have consequences, which is something that we need to understand. We may not be always aware of the consequences in the present, but that does not mean that those consequences do not exist. That's kind of the point of Santa's list and Marley's chain, is that life accumulates, and our naughtiness or niceness does catch up with us. The truth is, good works do matter. Now, again, let me be perfectly clear. When I say that good works do matter, I am not talking about the basis for salvation. We'll talk about it a little more fully in a bit, but faith in Jesus Christ is the only basis for salvation. What Jesus did on the cross, our trust in his work that he did on our behalf, that is the only way to get to heaven. No amount of good works is ever going to get us to heaven. Good works are really the proof that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, here comes the problem. Some people wind up misinterpreting the grace of God, and they say, well, if good works don't matter, then that must mean that I can do anything I choose. If good works aren't saving me, I can live any way I want to. But the Bible does not allow for that kind of thinking. We talked about the law of the harvest just a minute ago. What you sow in seed is what you reap in the harvest. Sinful seed, sinful harvest. Spirit-filled seed, spirit-filled harvest. Jesus used the same kind of imagery of the harvest in Matthew chapter 7. So grab your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 7. It's page 972 in your pew Bible. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to begin with verse 15. Again, that's page 972 in the pew Bible. It says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear good fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Okay. There is no way to read these verses and not think that our actions don't matter. They do very much so. Our actions have consequences. Faith bears fruit. If it does not, you have to ask the question, is it really faith in the first place? So we live in kind of a place of tension between grace and works. But there is no doubt that it is the grace of God that saves us, and the grace of God alone. But genuine faith does work. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, page 1174 in the Pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, again, page 1174 in the Pew Bible. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul sums this up really well, and says, it is the grace of God that saves you, but it saves you toward good works, toward the things that I planned out for you. So those good works do matter. Scrooge is given a vivid look at the consequences of his actions. He focused only on selfish pursuits, and for so long that he had a hard time focusing on good works. And the sad thing is that Scrooge used to be a good man. One time he was a loving man, but he became chained to his own selfish desires, and it turned him into a bitter old man, one that was miserly and loved money, one that showed no mercy on tenants and his properties. He refused to give to charity, and he didn't care for his employees. Now, we come to the question for us. What Christmas chains have we forged? What have we sown? Especially, what negative things may we have sown? Are there chains that are holding on to us? Many during this time battle with materialism. We did that a little bit earlier in the reading. We want more stuff. Or we spend so much to get stuff for us or to buy stuff for other people so other people will love us. We battle with chains of materialism. What about chains of bitterness and hurt? Are we nursing old wounds? Are we holding on to our right to be hurt? I realized that I felt that way at one point, holding on to hurt, and what broke me free from it is God helping me to understand that my feeling of being hurt was really just a smokescreen for my being selfish. That's really what that came down to. Maybe you're held by the chains of unrealistic expectations. You expect your home life to be a certain way, or maybe you are being Clark W. Griswold and you are expecting the perfect family Christmas. Okay? And instead of being excited about the family being there, you are anxious about every little thing because every little thing is going wrong. Maybe our chains are more related to our faith. Maybe we are chained to a sin that we know is just dragging us down. We want to be done with it, but it seems to rear its ugly head just the moment we think we're finished with it. We know it is sucking the life out of us, and we've got to do something about it. Or perhaps we are chained to things that are keeping us from seeking God's kingdom. A lack of passion for God's word, a lack of time, a lack of compassion for your fellow man, or maybe your chains are holding you back from a full Christian life. Maybe you have not been in fellowship with other believers to help you grow. Maybe you only give, and you never take back in because you are out of balance in your Christian life. If we follow the law of the harvest completely, it might seem like a hopeless place to go. We have sowed to these things, so there's really no hope we're going to reap that kind of a harvest. That might be true if life was purely humanistic. However, Christ is the one who can break those chains. And that is our second principle, and only two. Second principle is the hope for change is found in Christ's coming. The gospel is not something that is just for entering into the Christian life. The gospel is for all of us at all stages of the Christian life. Jesus helps break the chains that hold on to us. For some, it is the chains for coming into salvation, for entering into relationship with Christ. But for some, it is for sanctification. It is for becoming more like Him. It is those chains that hold us back from being holy. It is important at this time of the birth of Christ to remember that Christmas, and indeed all of life, is not really all about us. Jacob Marley describes this when Scrooge asks him, "Why do spirits walk the earth?" And he replies, "It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes forth not in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world, woe is me, and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth, and turned to happiness." Now, again, we do not subscribe to spirits being condemned to walk the earth, but listen to what Marley is actually saying. Mankind is our business. Dickens wrote this because he did like the Gospels, he did like Jesus, and he didn't see those things in the church. He wanted mankind, and he wanted the church in particular, to be exemplifying the ideals of who Christ is. Marley also says that he would have been happier on earth if he had shared shared what he is now witnessing, which is basically another way of saying that we are created for fellowship. We are created for a loving community who's seeing the things, the acts of kindness that are going on, and he is not able to participate in those things. But like Scrooge, we can lose sight of this fact, thinking that business or our activities or our busyness is more important than caring for others, than doing the things we know we should be doing. Scrooge says, "But you were always a good man of business, Jacob." To which he replies, "Business? Mankind was my business. Common welfare, my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade but were a drop of water in a comprehensive ocean of my business." The truth is that we never know how our behavior may affect other things. The story is told of William McKinley, our 25th president. He had two men that he was trying to decide between for the appointment to ambassador to this foreign country. Both were basically equally qualified in just about every way. But McKinley remembered a time when he boarded a streetcar at the height of rush hour. An elderly woman carrying a heavy load, or heavy basket, carrying a heavy load of clothes basket, yet nobody on the streetcar got up to help her. She walked to the back of the streetcar, barely able to keep her balance. And one of those two men that McKinley was trying to decide between was sitting near where this lady was now standing. And instead of getting up to help her, this man shifted his newspaper in a way so that it looked like he didn't actually see her. When McKinley noticed this, he got up, took the basket from her, and offered her his seat. The man did not realize that anybody was watching, but one act of selfishness would later cost this man his hopes of ever becoming ambassador. Freedom comes in getting outside of ourselves and giving out to others as God's Son was offered up and given selflessly for us. But the ultimate chain-breaking power is not found in ourselves. It is found in Jesus Christ. He was able to break the chains of the greatest thing that ever happened to us, and that would be our sin. There was a young Russian soldier whose father was friends with Tsar Nicholas II. And this Russian soldier was given the responsibility to distribute money each month to soldiers in the barracks. But the young man had taken to gambling the government's funds. One day he was told that a representative from the Tsar was going to come and take a look at the books. He knew that he was in trouble as he reviewed the books and saw the amount that he owed. He determined the best thing that he could possibly do was commit suicide. He wrote at the bottom of his ledger, of where he had kept his own accounts of this, a great debt, who can pay? His plan was to pull the trigger at midnight, but the young man fell asleep. That night, Tsar Nicholas happened to be in his camp, and he took a walk around, as was his custom, and he noticed the light on in this particular barracks. So he stopped, and when he walked in, he noticed the young man falling asleep, and that this was his friend's son. He read the ledger and was about to arrest the young boy when he noticed the boy's words at the end of the page. "A great debt you can pay." Tsar Nicholas wrote one word at the bottom of the ledger and he walked out. When the soldier woke up and saw the time, he reached for his gun, and as he did so, he noticed that something had changed in the ledger. He noticed that something else was added. And at the bottom of the page, beneath his words, was written the word Nicholas. Only Tsar Nicholas could possibly pay that debt. And in fact, he did. The next morning, a messenger came with the exact amount that that young soldier owed. A great debt to God, who can pay it? At the bottom of our ledger is written one word, Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can pay those debts. Jesus is the only one who can break those chains. That is one of the differences between Scrooge and us. His is a humanistic conversion story. It's a great parable, it's a great story, but it is incomplete without Jesus Christ. Change is God's main business. So we are not doomed to wear the chains that we forged in life. The chains that may hold us even today, Christ can break those. No matter what your chain is, materialism, bitterness, unhealthy spiritual choices or patterns, whatever it may be, the list could go on and on and on. Christ and the power of the cross are the only things that can break those chains. The story of Zechariah in the Bible reminds us of God's ability to break chains. If you remember when Zechariah heard that he was about to have a child with his wife Elizabeth, Zechariah didn't believe the angel who came to give him the news. As a result, Zechariah was struck mute through the entire pregnancy. The Bible does not say whether Elizabeth enjoyed the quiet or not. Zechariah had created this kind of chain of unbelief and doubt. But when the child was born, Zechariah believed God and named him exactly what God said. And at that particular moment, the chains of doubt were broken, so were the chains of being mute. And Zechariah got his voice back. Turn to Luke chapter 1 for just a minute. You're using a few Bibles, page 1026. Luke chapter 1, we're going to read verses 76 through 79. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. So shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace. Zechariah, when he got his voice back, used his voice to praise God. What kind of chains do you want to break? Have you become bitter at the season, a family member or friend, about your circumstances, your job, financial status, the state of your marriage, lack thereof? Are you struggling with the chains of doubt? Doubting that you are lovable? Doubting that anyone cares? Doubting about God, that he cares or that he will help and wants to help? Have you created chains in your spiritual life by unhealthy practices and patterns? Have you kind of isolated yourself and basically said, you know what? I'm a Christian and the only thing I need is my Bible and God and that's all I need. So you've isolated yourself from other Christians. Maybe you stopped praying because of circumstances or time or doubt, or stopped reading your Bible because of those same things. If we can turn the metaphor around for just a second here, what about things that you want to do, that you want to make yourself holy, forged in the proper way? Who do you want to reach out to and love with the life-changing power of the gospel? What bonds of friendship do you want to renew? What ways do you want to make the links between you and God stronger? Instead of believing these things will never change, believe that Christ can set us free this Christmas into the life that he has always promised us. Verse on the screen. John chapter 10, verse 10. A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And if I can bend that metaphor for just a second, the thief comes to subdue, chain up, and enslave. That's the agenda of the enemy. That is what Satan wants to do to us this Christmas. So, it is okay to be thinking of these chains that have held us. It's okay to identify them and submit them to the power of Christ. That's called sanctification. When you realize I'm struggling with this sin, I need to submit this to Christ because of that. It really is this simple. Christ offers freedom by transforming our hearts and our lives. Christ can transform a desire to receive into a desire to give. He can transform a desire to be right into a desire to forgive, or forgiveness. Christ can transform a desire to hold back into a desire to engage. Christ can and will transform our hearts as we submit the chains of our lives to Him for freedom. So, this morning, when you walk in, you are given a little chain. And I'll rattle them at me if you want. Okay. You're given this chain, and what I'm going to encourage you to do is take the chain home. And you can think of it in one of two ways. You can think of it in the positive sense of, these are the things that I want to be adding to my life. The chains, the links of the chain that I want to add to help me become more holy, to help me become more Christ-like. Or, maybe it's the negative sense that you need to think of. Things that maybe have crept into your life that you go, I know this is not something that God would want me to do. And so you can identify these things and then pray over these things and say, God, I am submitting this to you and asking you to help me break this chain. Because this is bigger than I am and I need your help for this. And if you, there's other ways that you can think of this. If you are here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this chain is the thing that's keeping you out of heaven. This is the sin that you have been forging for life and that you need to be able to break so that you can get into heaven. That's how you need to pray today. You need to say, God, this is me. I want to bust this chain and I want to be in heaven with you forever. If you are here and you are a believer, this can be the day that the chains come off of the things that we have added to our life that we don't need. That's right. Father in heaven, thank you for the fact that Christ is a chain breaker. You broke the chains for many, if not most, or even all of us in this room as we entered our relationship with you, coming to know you as Savior for the first time. Lord, trying to live this life, trying to live through this life, can be very difficult because we still live in a world full of sin. And we still get ourselves into messes. Lord, it's still you who breaks the chains for us. It's still you who helps us become holy. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to really review these things, to think about these things deeply, so that we can become more holy. Lord, if there's anybody here who has not accepted you as their Savior, does not have that relationship, Lord, I pray today is the day that you help them to have those chains fall off, for them to realize their need of you, that they need to accept you as their Savior, and that those chains are going to come flying off, and that they're going to be free, and that we're going to celebrate with them, and celebrate with the angels, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name.